we're discussing the Inyanei Harachakos, and Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei, as I mentioned yesterday, really every sif katan is so kedai to see, and we're only summarizing. For the sake of time today, instead of going through every sif and sif katan in the Nosei Kelim and Pesach Teshuvah, I'll summarize a lot of the Poel Yotzei, a lot of the mastronas that come out of the postim, and then in your own time you can look back and see the development of the halachos themselves. For the most part, sometimes we'll develop a little bit more, but you'll see. We'll talk about the halacha l'maisa.
Are you
very able to sign the? Yeah, so as we'll go through, as Hashem. Yesterday we began in Sif Dalad, talking about drinking from Shirei Kos Shoshos Sahi. Let's say she drank from a cup, he shouldn't drink from the same cup. And the Rama, ironically, not in Sif Dalad, but in Sif Gimel, and the Shach at the end of Sif Gimel points out that the same thing applies to food. Drink kolshchein to food. He can't drink from the leftovers or eat leftovers. And the Pesach Teshuvah quotes, as we saw yesterday in Sif Tatan Hay, that in theory, that really is going to infringe on the popcorn phenomenon. Popcorn, we know there's two issues. Number one, he can't serve. She can't serve him and eat it from the same plate as him. They can't be eating from the same plate, the same serving dish. That, the exception is, if that's a serving plate that they're both going to eat from to another plate, like we, that it's not common for us to eat from the same big plate, unless you have, let's say, a pupa platter or something like that. But even if you have a pupa platter that has all the food that you eat from the directly, what do you usually do with the food? You put it down on your plate. So Pesach Teshuvah says, yes, that's true. We take that as the yesod, which is granted, that if you're going to take from a big kli to a small kli, which we call a serving dish, to your own plate, that's mutter. But, says the Pesach Teshuvah, you have to be careful with the issue of having leftovers, because if, let's say, she's eating the popcorn and some of it falls out of her hands and then you eat the popcorn, you're right that it's not considered a problem as far as eating from the same dish, because that's the serving dish, ostensibly. But lamaisa, you might be eating some of her leftover popcorn. So what's the solution? The solution the Pesach Teshuvah quotes, although he says it's not so convenient, is that you have to make sure that someone else always eats in between. So yes, just beware. Depends what's going on. If you're going to be in a situation where you are not able to notice, you're listening to a fantastic speaker and you're just eating popcorn and you're not sure if she's going to be eating at the same time, you have to make sure, leave a minute between. Make sure that he eats, then someone else eats, because as the Rama says, when there's another person eating, that's not considered leftovers per se. So the Pesach Teshuvah is just quoting that there's really two issues that have to be taken into consideration whenever a couple is sharing something. Number one, the issue of eating from the same plate. That's ameliorated by having their own dish, because a serving dish is not a problem. But if they're all eating from the same plate and she drops some of it back, like with popcorn, then it's going to be leftovers. That's a concern which is ameliorated by someone else eating in between. If you're not sure if that's happening, the Pesach Teshuvah says it's going to be a potential problem. Jeremy. Oh, so Jeremy's doing Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, hold on a second. Rav Moshe reworks the entire issue of the Harachot. Rav Moshe's yesod that he says in several tshuvas, sometimes lahachel and often lahachmir, is that the yesod of the Harachot is for Kirov Das. Memela, says Rav Moshe, sharing is not nikva based upon a situation as we're illustrating, let's say, with a big popcorn dish or small popcorn dish having your own private serving dishes or not, or sometimes the popcorn would be maybe you're serving tablecloth, no official dish, just put some in front of you. But says Rav Moshe, depends on the serving size. Remember when I was little, there used to be something called a 25-cent bag of potato chips. Every so often you can still find them, but now they went up a little bit like everything else. Lamaisa, if you buy one of those small, wise bags of potato chips, which is meant for one person, here the mevorah on the back, it says, meant for one person. And L'chora, one would make the case to say that a can of Coke, Adam, what is in the back can of Coke? How many servings are in that can of Coke?
One can.
One can is serving. So then that's meant for one person. L'maiser, Moshe says, it's nikah based upon a serving size. If this is meant for one person, you can't say, well, she'll have some and he'll have some, because that's considered a way of splitting among both of them. Says Rav Moshe, maybe a big popcorn dish they can both share with the column that we mentioned. But if it's meant for one person, by definition, he can't share. That's considered Shira Meichel, because they're splitting something meant for one person. Vit Kiddush. Rav Moshe's machmir in such a situation. That's going to be a violation of the halakha. Adam.
Say, for example, it's a beverage that you're pouring from one can to two glasses. That's still considered a problem, even though it's one serving, but it's split up the different...
So you can make a case to say that maybe Coke's not really the bilim on what's considered a serving. Maybe when they say one can, we know it's pretty normal to split it. You have to think what's normal. Meaning it's really... I was making a joke saying that they're really in charge, but it's based on whatever is normal in theory. Rav Moshe would say, let's say you have, now the Tootsie Rolls are kosher, O-U-D, for those. So let's say, to split a Tootsie Roll, him to have her one and her to have the other one, that's the Dedeh Shiurei Michael, even though they're both having half a Tootsie Roll. No, that's considered part of one serving that would be inappropriate.
Even a Tishah bag, it's not unheard of that if you're eating Tishah, your friend says, can I say, oh, sure, of course, like that's, you know, you're not going to go by what they tell you, how do you draw that line?
That's so...
Just what's normal, like,
right, what that's a good question. So you're pointing out even potato chip bags might be considered normal to.
Yeah.
It's not. So your friend giving your friend some, that's considered leftovers. That's not necessarily a raya.
Oh.
Is it normal for people to split it? Do people split potato chip bags?
Okay.
You have to see what's normal. Maybe it might make a difference based on that couple. Maybe the conventional wisdom is irrelevant. That's Rav Moshe's chumrah. That's not the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch. That's Rav Moshe's chumrah. Jeremy. Oh, is that Rav Moshe another Havdarah? Maybe, and that's what you're referring to. Rav Moshe says also, how do you define Shirei Michael? So we know there is a klal gadol. Whenever a couple goes to an expensive restaurant, if they can afford it, it really is not so expensive. Because the husband eats the steak, and the wife eats the salad. So therefore, serve two with one order. Lamaisa, then the french fries, what happens? She'll take three and he'll have the rest of them, let's say. So, Lamaisa, in such a situation, we would presume that is bepashtus, not Shirei Michael. Shirei Michael means not necessarily what's on the plate, but if he's eating the salad and she's eating only if he's eating the steak and she's eating the salad, so he didn't touch the salad, that's not Shirei Michael. It would be a problem with him to eat it on the same plate, because that's an issue of eating from the same plate. That's an issue that needs some sort of hefsek. But aside from the issue of the same plate, two food products on the same plate that are different servings are not considered Shirei Michael. So he can eat the entire steak, and then she has the potatoes, that's not considered those are two different servings. So after Rav Moshe, there we mentioned that if you move something from one plate to another, then it's not considered Shirei Michael. So after Rav Moshe, in certain things are considered Shirei Michael by definition. If these things are automatically things that you would never serve, you would never share with anyone aside from your wife, that's by definition considered Shirei Michael. That can't be changed. For example, let's say one might argue, depends on the situation. In theory, let's say you go to a really nice steak. You would have the steak. You might cut off a little bit of it and give the rest of it to someone else. That's not crazy. Depends on how mappy you are on germs, and if you're really mappy, you might cut off that part that you bit from, give the rest to someone else. Soup. Who would really have half a bowl of soup, give the rest to your friend? Maybe. Depends on how hamish you are, but it's not usually the pashtus. Not usually what happens. So, Rav Moshe says, if it's the soup, which by definition you would never share with anyone else, let's say, that's considered always Shirei Michael, you can't say, oh, move it to something else and then make it non-Shirei Michael. That's automatically a sign of intimacy rather than just friendship. So, klal, again, if it's something you do with your friends, might be mutter. If it's more something to do with your wife, that would be inappropriate.
I'm just wondering, why would the case of the popcorn, if one reaches into the bag of popcorn and as they're reaching out, some of the kernels fall back to the bag, why is that already Shirei Michael?
You said that's not Shirei Michael because she just took
it. Shirei Michael is usually something where you've already, you know, been eating, you know, part of that food, and part of it remains on your plate or whatever it is. Here, it's almost as if you never really even, I don't want to use the word konet, but for lack of a better term, that some of that popcorn just didn't make it to your plate or to your, whatever, personal area.
Interesting. I hear. It's an interesting hara. So you're making you're saying that might be not considered shirim. If you take it, then you decide not to have it. So it's not shirim. It's an interesting hara. You did hara. You have to think about what that would be. Mike.
The instance where you've had more than just a couple eating from popcorn, where it's not a problem, is that the third person always needs to eat between them?
Right. So they don't need to tell the third person, okay, do me a favor, my wife and I can't eat from the same popcorn plate, so you make sure to always have between us. They'll have to just wait and pause. It's not right for them to tell.
Fact, there's
Yes, that takes to the intimacy. The Ramah says in Sif Dalet that if you have a person who's eating, drinking from a cup between them, if you're not germies and the husband drinks, the wife drinks from the cup, then someone else drinks from the cup. Maybe let's say a kid, and then the wife, and then the husband. I'm sorry, that's not considered an intimate situation. That's not the harachah. So the same thing would apply with the foods.
I'm saying even if there's a possibility of husband, wife, and somebody else,
right? That's
not. The other person is the third to go, but he's still involved in eating.
That's not good enough. That's because of his point. It has to be between them. That's to get rid of it. Yeah.
The Ramah also says in Sif Dalet that if he doesn't know that it's his leftovers,
yes.
So wouldn't that be a heter by the popcorn example that he doesn't know which piece what came from?
It's an interesting hara. So what's the Pesach was saying? That's, we don't know about this piece.
Yeah.
I guess Pesach would argue since you know in general, but it's also a very strong hara. Right, strong hara. You don't know what's going on. Yeah, sure, as Pesach says.
Yeah.
You know, right, I hear. So the Pesach sounds like he would say, no, but if you know the phenomenon is existing, that still shows intimacy. Meaning, but I hear. So there are two great haras. Jeremy.
Also, if it falls back, the popcorn, isn't that a shiur in the plate? If it was in the hand, now it's back on the plate. So that's...
Okay.
No,
she puts it back. But if she puts it back from her plate, but if it never went to a new plate, that's not considered. Right. Or even the fork, let's say. Right. I don't think Pesach was talking about popcorn. They probably didn't have popcorn in those days. But he's talking about, let's say, even a fork. That's not enough.
Also, Moshe, but he says even if it's the same meat, I mean, it doesn't only have to be salad and meat, right? Even if it's two, let's say, French fries. So there, because they're two distinct...
Right, same thing. Two, you're right. So Jeremy's pointing out, I gave an extreme example of salad and steak because it's common. But let's say, in theory, you have two portions of French fries, which restaurants don't give us so much. But
same portion in the same pile because they're distinct pieces.
Within the mix-up of the French fries?
Again, I think it's...
I don't remember. Look, maybe, I don't know what you consider about the... Maybe, I don't remember what Ramosha says. French fries that are, let's say, string fries.
Two little piece strips of chicken,
right.
He says are two different pieces.
Right, that's true. Right, Ramosha does say, let's say, chicken cutlets. You have three different cutlets, would be the same, would be considered the same. So French fries, I'm not sure what would be more considered. Is that one mashed potato, side mashed potatoes, or is that different pieces like chicken? Okay, I hear what you're saying.
I thought together was that the difference between the two is something that's normal to take a handful at once. It's considered all in one entity. So French fries, one wouldn't necessarily take one French fry and grab a bunch.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to no one takes two pieces of chicken at one time. You know, put one piece and they cut it up.
So that's why each one is separate.
That's how I understood.
Okay, so it might be a difference if it's house fries or steak fries or shoestring fries. Should be.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, you have to look again and see exactly what we're feeling. It's a very good harvest, beautiful harvest. Then, so in this Ramah, in Sif Dalet, the end of Sif Gimel and Sif Dalet, we have a connection between food and drink. The Shach points out they're equal. But that's not always so pashut. The Shulchan Aruch discusses that in Sif Yud Beis, Sif Yud Gimel, that there's an issue of or Yud Gimel, more precisely Yud Gimel, There are some issues that specifically apply to foods that are unique with foods, perhaps, or unique with drinks, perhaps. Discussion in the post-gym. She's not allowed to serve him food. And as a machokas, the Shach, the Taz quote from earlier, Achronim, this is also the Taz and Sivrimo quote from Marash Ostreich, there are issues that come up as far as serving him, and the discussion in the postman what serving means. The serving means to serve from the chalon pot into his own bowl or plate, or does it mean to, that's in the kitchen, or to serve him at the table to bring the plate to him. Just if you think about it, serving, there's two parts to it. Number one, taking the food, even in the kitchen, out of the pot onto his dish. And number two, bringing a dish in front of him if he's sitting in the dining room, let's say, at a Shabbos meal. Two different parts to serving. Which one is included in the issue of serving? So, since it's the discussion in the post-him, we try to be mapping for both. Both serving from the serving plate, even in the kitchen, into his plate or bowl. And number two, serving him, kipshuto, bringing him food in his own dish. Let's say, as we call French service, at the table. Except that there's a shinui. What shinui? Number one, let's say left hand or something else, which is only something they'll notice. That's good enough. Or number two, if she does it not directly in front of him. If she puts it, if usually she does serve in front of him, then putting it, that he has to move it closer a little bit is considered mishinah also. And number three, if he can't see it. So let's say he's at the bathroom or he's so involved in his miros that his eyes are closed, doesn't know what's going on, then he can't see it. It's also mutter. Shlo b'fanav. It would go, the same thing would apply in theory for him in the kitchen. If he's helping in the kitchen and she puts it into his bowl, that would be a concern. But if she's blocking, he can't see even if he knows what's going on. If he's blocking, that's going to be mutter because he's not going to see it. If she does it with her shinoi, that's also mutter. Let's say with her left hand, that also would be mutter. And they don't have the shinoi, even not doing it in front of him, not doing it directly in front of him because it's going just into the bowl.
The emphasis on the serving part or the placing part?
That's machlokes. That's the discussion. The Shulchan Aruch and the Mesa Kalim. Do you really say is it din in serving? What does serving mean? Does serving mean putting it out of taking it out of the serving dish or serving him at the table? Everyone hear the two different ways of meaning? Serving means serving. Is it kitchen or dining room? Serving from the serving plate onto his dish, which should even be in the kitchen in theory. Think of French service per person, or putting his dish in front of him. Bring the serving dish to the table is not a problem. That's done by. That's for everyone, but bringing it to him directly, his own dish, is a problem. Doesn't it?
Let's say she accidentally does it. Let's say she brings it to him straight up, puts it on his plate for him, and then she runs, oh shoot, you know, her puck goes. Can he undo that? Can he, like, move it to the side and put it back? Like, is there a way of
I hear what you're saying. If the whole point, if you really need a shinoi, so by him yeah. Then bringing it further, yeah. Or by her bringing it further again,
right.
That would be a shinoi.
Can you undo
it? Well, maybe she can do it. She can put it back. That's already enough of a shinoi. Right? The Rambam writes, that's the pshat in, you can throw in a tiny match for pasapim. We can throw in a tiny match because the whole point is in order to make the heker that Yisrael has to be careful with pasapim, even though it's a tiny match, that's already enough to add as a heker. She's saying that's enough of a heker. I hear. Enough anything which is a heker. So the discussion, that's the Taz has in Sifkat and Gimel, the Hamistayif, is this an issue with only drinks or food as well? The Shach also discusses this idea, is it only with drinks or food? So Lamaisa, Minadolam, is to be makbid with both food and drink. I was giving an example, let's say Cholent. But if you look carefully, the Shulchan Aruch seems only to be referring to drinks. The Nosetim quote from Arash Ostreich, from an important sefer in Hilchos Ashkenaz, Minhag Ashkenaz, that they are machmid even on food. So Zakhar Ravadia, who is not bound by Minhag Ashkenaz, no problem, only for drinks. So that means the wife can't necessarily make a cup of coffee for her husband, or bring him coffee right in front of him, but anything else would be mutter, so all food would be okay. But even in coffee, the postman has a discussion. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty. If there's a shinoi in the chefta itself, and this goes after your question, if something needs to still be done, such as coffee needs to have milk, or sugar, or tea needs to have milk, or sugar, or something like that, if there's something that he needs to do himself, if it's not a finished product, that's also enough of a shinoi we're making on that as well. Adam.
Isn't there a difference between alcoholic beverages versus non-alcoholic beverages?
We'll get to that in a minute. Alcohol is a slightly different issue as far as him sending her. But for her to serve him, we don't find such a difference. And included in this idea of serving him, so Ravadia is Mekel, Lamaisa is up to Rav Willig, Ravadia is right. We don't have to be choshish for this idea that it's true even by foods. So Rav Willig, like Ravadia points out, Ravadia quotes from the Rishonim, that this is a das yochid, say we're makbid on foods. So Rewild is doche this harchotra as far as foods are concerned altogether. So minagolam, many are makbid, as the Nosacham quote that it applies to foods, but Rewild thinks, like Ravadia quotes, if the Nosacham quote is the chiddush, there's no need to be makbid on foods, only by drinks. And by drinks, it depends. If it's Gatorade, let's say, then it's already ready. Coke is already ready. But something hot that you have to add something to would be mutra me'elav if he's going to add a little bit to it. Michael.
Just wondering, part of the logic of this is that intention was both that you could have just written food. Food can include food and drink. Drink never necessarily means. Drink usually comes to.
So you're saying it's another raya that.
Yeah, I mean, just I can go say I'm gonna go get food, which means I can get both liquids and solids.
Yeah, so look carefully in this Taz Sifkat and Gimel. That's sort of the Taz's taina. The Taz says, "Kashuli, why did they say, why didn't they discuss the idea of Tikkun Michael? That's a good point. It should be Ikri Chosim in a Sefer. Then Adam raised another issue. There's a separate idea, Layishalchu a Kos. He can't send her a Kos. That's an issue. The issue in Sif Yud, by the way, Sif Yud was part of the, I mentioned Sif Yud was part of the issue of serving that we discussed in the Nostalim earlier. But then there's an issue, specifically him sending her a Kos. That applies specifically to Kos, which is not just alcoholic, but wine. And even non-alcoholic, grape juice. We know that wine is hadrafen, and grape juice, of course, is hadrafen. Mela, both are included in the same category of kos. You can't send her a kos, and that often applies most commonly for kos shel bracha. People don't usually drink wine stein, although if they're drinking wine stein, that's a problem. But he can't send her a kos. When does this come up most commonly? Kiddush. So what do you do for Kiddush? So it depends on how much of a germ person you are. If you're a non-germ person at all in your family, we pass the cup around, around and around, and when it stops, you're out. So then everyone has the same kos. Then he drinks it, and then the kids drink it, and then she drinks it. That's not him sending her. Everyone's passing it around. That's all one kos. It's not his kos, her kos. Everyone's going around. That's not a problem altogether. But what if they're sitting right near each other, and he's going to pass her the kos first? That's still considered shlichus ha-kos. So then what's the next solution? So from there we have, in Eretz Yisrael, they came up with the new tourist attraction. This is about 15 years ago. The new tourist souvenir, the fountains. Because it's very hard to pour coast. Therefore, make a fountain. That's everything's going to just pour. So if you use the fountain, then it's okay. There's no specific coast he's sending her. He's passing it around. She'll take one too. That's not shlichus ha-kos. And even if you do the old-fashioned way, pouring, that would be considered mutter also. What if they don't pour a little glazelach, they don't pour into each person by himself, they don't pass one cup around? So then the next solution is, she's allowed to drink from Shi'ur and Michael Shalo. She can eat or drink from his leftovers, it's just not the other way around. So if they're sitting near each other, and he makes Barei Pri Hadafen, and then puts down the kos, and she takes it herself, that's okay. What if the kos was here, and it was on the left side, he picks it up, then puts it back on the right side after he drinks it. Why is he really putting it on the right side? Give it to her. That's highly questionable. So in theory, if the husband picks up a kos, if he plans beforehand, if the cup is at rest between them, enough of a space, even if it's a little bit far between them, that's where the little cup holder or the plate, the silver plate that a lot of breakfasts come with, is there. So he was there at rest, picks it up, then puts it down right there again. He's just putting it back where it goes. She can then drink from it afterwards. So different solutions, depending on what your modus operandi is. Of course, the fourth solution is, it's clear from the Gemara, as the Shmir Shabbos Chochasa points in, and as the Shechter points out in Hilchos Shabbos, which has bearings on Hilchos Nida as well, Kos Shel Bracha applies to any wine and grape juice around at the time of Kiddush. Maybe even the Kos, even the wine, the Maskar D'Asti in the bottle, at the time he makes Kiddush on Cabernet. Because the Gemara talks about a case of Yalta. Yalta got upset that she didn't have any kos shel bracha, so her husband said, okay, Rav Nachman said, just take it from the barrel that's right here. And the barrel was, he didn't make Kiddush on the barrel, the only one that makes Kiddush on a barrel full of wine is Bir Gedalia Gumber, if you remember those days. So Amaisa, if he didn't make Kiddush on the kos shel bracha, on the barrel, no, since it was there, but Shas the Kiddush, that's considered enough to show the Chavivus HaMitzvah that the kos shel bracha is going to create. And therefore, so it's a simple solution. If wives and husbands are okay with it, if everyone has their own cup, she's having just as much of the Kiddush, in theory, by having Kiddush from him, even though she's not drinking from his cup altogether, and that would be fine too. So that's a matter of personal preference. But that would be halakhically, the point of drinking from the Tosha Bracha to Shul Chaviva Sabracha, that's shown by having another Hadafen beverage that's there at the time of Kiddush also.
It's only the two of you, so pouring into another cup wouldn't help.
She can pour into another cup. He just can't send her the cup. He can't send her a wine.
It was just two of us, so have another small cup on the table and pour into that cup, even though clearly your wife's going to.
Right, that's probably not good. So Zevi's pointing out, even if you don't do any shlichus, if he drinks from this cup, then pours it into another cup. It's only the two of them together. That's highly questionable, also, because that's really sending her, even though he doesn't do a ma'aseh sending, he's earmarking that this is for you. That's really just as bad, even though there's no specific ma'aseh. Perhaps one of the most well-known halachos in the Welt, as far as Orthodox Jews halachos nida, is the issue of separate beds. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sivav, Lo Yishin Ima B'mita, Filu Kalecha B'vigdo. Without the issue of Nidiyah, it's still Aser. But included in the Shulchan Aruch, as the Dr. Moshe makes clear, is that Ein Odin Zebezeh is a prerequisite. So now, let's say you have from people, we're jumping ahead of ourselves for a minute, that have separate beds, which we'll talk about details of in a minute. So when I say they're separate beds, but they're a nanometer away from each other, if there's an issue in Nidiyah, they might touch each other while when they're sleeping, that's going to be a problem, even if technically the beds are not are two different beds. So there's always an issue, a separate issue of Nidiyah itself. So I'm saying even without Nidiyah, there's going to be a problem. But if there's a concern of Nidiyah, that itself should be an issue. I think Rabbi Slavsky made this famous, I don't know if it's in the Sefer, he often talks about the roll test. What happens if you can roll, if you can roll straight. If you roll and you're going to fall through the two beds, if you go through the two beds, that's the roll test. It passes the roll test. If I might say the person who just rolled from one to the other, that's really considered one bed. So it's not, the Vard is not as one bed because there's, if they're mamish separate, they're mamish separate. But including the idea of being separate is that there's no concern of Nidiyah. If they're so close, there's a concern of Nidiyah, that itself is going to be a problem. So it's not the roll test per se that we're concerned that as you're going to roll from one to the other, the separate is separate. But if there's a concern of Nidiyah, they're going to end up holding hands when they're sleeping. That's inappropriate because that's a prerequisite for Sukkot altogether. But Lamaisa, the Ikrid Din of the Shulchan Aruch says, Mita means one bed, that means two beds of mutter. The Ramah is a bit Chumrah, which the Ashnazim are machmir on more than the Sfaradim, as the postum even of Shulchan Aruch and the later postum discuss. What's then if you have a big king-sized bed with two mattresses? It's very common nowadays, in 2011, it's a very common phenomenon that if a person doesn't want to have just a bed, you want to have either a Baba Pedic, as they advertise from Bob's Discount, that's going to, which is 1/8 the price of Tempur-Pedic or whatever. If you want to have beds that are going to adjust themselves, so it's not fair to have the wife adjust her bed according to the husband's will and the will husband according to the wife's will, each one has to have their own adjustable bed. So the common way of doing that is to have a king-size bed with two twin mattresses or two full mattresses, which each one can adjust themselves. So according to the Sfaradim, that should be mutter. According to Zech the Mechaber, Zech the Ramah, even if you have your own mattress, that's not good enough. As long as they're all connected, that's going to be a problem.
Sorry, I'm just not sure I understand. How can you have a king-size bed?
The frame. There's one frame.
Oh, one frame.
That was not. That was just to bring up Lasaber Sozin. There was no specific thing. That was not. It was not paid by Bob or any of the competitors.
Oh, frame. Okay.
It's just right. There's a big frame, and then you have some. Right, they'll have two mattresses themselves. That's a thank you, Zevi, for being matarging. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, even two mitos, the mitos nodos zubazu, aser. Shulch mishne mitos, mitos nodos zubazu, that's aser. As we mentioned, so what gets rid of nodos zubazu? Make sure they're not nodos zubazu. As long as they're not touching, that itself is going to be mutu. Any sheer of Nadia? No, we don't find the Tresset post from any specific shear of not Nadia, except for the idea that the husband and wife can't be Nadia when they're sleeping. That would be inappropriate. We don't find any specific idea of shear. What if they're connected to the same headboard? You have two beds connected to the same headboard. That papashas machokas machaber and ramah. Machaber that should say that two mattresses, that's okay, but ramah that says that one frame, that's all considered one frame if they're connected. If they're both holding back the same headboard without being connected to them, or one of them is connected, the other one's just against it, that's really okay. But if they're both connected to the same headboard, that's going to be considered a problem, they're all installed. That's one chefza. What about a bunk bed? So if you look back in the Beis Yosef, the Derech Moshe, Beis Yeshua quotes it in Sifkat Nir Aleph, that it's the idea of nodo zubazu, the concern is not touching per se. It's not right for husband and wife to be able to see each other when they're sleeping so closely, that's inappropriate. But he says, for example, let's say you have they're touching one another, you're in a very tight space, and it's head to foot. So Pesach Shiva says that should be mutter, because even if they're technically touching, that's not an infant situation, that's a nebuch situation. He says that should be mutter. What do we say then about bunk beds? So bunk beds, husband and wife fight who was the top bunk. So, no, hopefully not. But lamaisa, is that considered mutter or usser? But pashas from the person should be mutter or damri. That's mamish. That's not an intimate situation. That's a situation where in Nebuch they have no room for two beds. So even though technically it's touching, but there's no idea of being mustatil. The Mishmar Sadar quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, that's still a problem because it's considered, that's mamish one chefza. It's mamish one chefza, that's a problem, another problem. That's not nodos, that's one chefza mamish, that's a problem. That's, okay, that yesh rayein. Not everyone agrees to that. That's his chiddush with, even within the Pesach Shuvah that says that two things that are touching could be mutter if they're foot to head or foot to foot. That's only if there are at least two different objects. But a headboard, but a bunk bed, which is one object, is usur. Even, and I don't think it means necessarily, there's some bunk beds, most bunk beds, as you look at them, they're really two beds that are connected through some sort of mechanism, even if they're not installed. I think he considers that all one chefza, pashas. But that's not Muslim with holodeos. Bunk beds could be mutter, in theory.
The fact that you feel,
you have a problem. So let's look at that off, and then we'll talk about. That is the issue with beds. Then, Siv Zayin. Siv Zayin is, we have here, perhaps, the most menakotze el hakotze of all the harchotos. Lo yistatil. Afil ba'akeva. Can't even look at her heel. V'lob mekamas v'chusim sheba. Or any place which is covered. Zachter Ovadia. Lo yistatil. It's important to realize the word listakel, his takel itself has specific connotations. It does not say lo yireh. Yireh means to see. What is listakel? To stare. Zecht revadi, that means to focus one's gaze with specific intent on that area. So lamashal, let's say both husband and wife are getting ready for bed in the evening or getting dressed in the morning. Then zecht revadi, without using that specific example, if out of the corner of his eye he catches Mokam Mechuse, that's not in violation. If he's not focusing his gaze, he's not istakil. If it happens to be Yireh, that's what happens, that's not a problem. Although it's important to realize that would not be inappropriate in a situation where a person is, let's say, yeah, they two people that are not married, of course, that aside from the yichud issues, that's not appropriate of a pashut. Zafim Ravadia, here where the concern is, well, istakil, that is not a concern. It's to focus one's gaze, number one. And number two, Makomos Hamachusim Shiva. The Mishnah Sadara quotes, and he summarizes in general, a major school of thought, which is Medayak, for one, the idea of Akeva, her heel. Her heel, that's not necessarily a romantic area to look at, but if it's normally covered, that's a problem. There are those that say, perhaps, before those that say, perhaps the best way to illustrate the two schools of thought in this harchaka is covering hair. Covering hair, bizman hazeh, is pretty mekubal that married women cover their hair. It's pretty mekubal. So, and there's an issue, se'er b'she'erva. That's usually when married women cover their hair. Rav Moshe points out in a few different shuvas, no less than three times, to the best of my knowledge, in Idris Moshe, that although kimchis was Zochet to have children that were kind of Dolom, because she never let her hair be uncovered in her house, that's a Chumri Yisera Zochet for Moshe. The whole reason it was Dafka Kimchus of an entire Mesorah, just Kimchus did that, was because that's not the normal approach. That was her own Midas Chasidus. It doesn't mean that everyone should strive, Masid you, Maisei le Maisei Kimchus. Rav Moshe writes this no less than three specific times in Idris Moshe to point out that's a unique situation which a woman should not feel pressured that she has to cover her hair every minute inside her house. He doesn't mean when, let's say, her husband is saying brachos or learning Torah, that's an issue of erva. He means in general, that's not, if she wants to, if nazvaliba to do it, maybe she can. But Rav Moshe says it's important for her to realize that's not a pressure that she has to even strive for. But, so lemaisa, the wife covers her hair when she goes out of the house, and she keeps her uncovered inside the house, let's say. Let's say. So, is hair considered makom l'chuse, that she has to keep covered inside the house when she's in Nida, or hair is makam medulla, because she is walking around 3 hours a day. Whenever she's home, she's going to have a medulla. So after Moshe, hair is considered makam medulla. It's darker to cover it for other people. But for her husband, that's not going to be something which is going to cause specific lack of focus that she's in Nida, because she walks around all the time that way. However, there are those, the Badei Shulchan quotes, Mishra Yastar quotes, there are those that are makbul also. No, whatever she covers, Mishum Erva, is usher for it to keep uncovered in the house. In fact, there are those that discuss, what's the din? We know, and this is not the forum for discussing Hilchot Tznius, but Papashus, we presume that the upper parts of the arm and upper parts of the leg are considered objective erva, and the lower parts is minach ha-machom, Papashus. What's the situation if it's minach ha-machom for her to always cover till her wrists, or always to wear socks? Do we say that's a chiyuv even in front of her husband if she's an ida because she's machmir in the minach ha-machom for her with makom mechusa, or no? The buck stops there. We'll say, whatever is objectively erva, her elbows, that she has to keep covered. But to say she has to cover what she covers because minach ha-machom is not necessary. Discussion. Mishmar Tzahar quotes those that are makbid on her wearing socks as well. Yeah.
Harely gabi bracha, and also what would be the din of
kolbisha? Oh, so both. Well, we'll death kolbisha in a few minutes. If I forget it, please remind me. And the issue of hair. So hair for bracha, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that since bizman is it's so nafutz for women to leave their hair uncovered, then it's mutter for a man to say a bracha in front of a wife's, in front of a woman's hair that's uncovered. There are those that think the Aruch HaShulchan means, therefore you don't need to cover your hair altogether, bizman hazeh. That's not his intent. Intent is that it's not, it loses the status of erva. But many other poskim say it's better not to have that, not to rely on that. So it depends on the situation. There's the Aruch HaShulchan's rely on b'diavad, that's if her husband whose wife's hair is uncovered, but it's more ideal if she can either leave it covered or he can look away. He doesn't need to see her hair when he's making the bracha. That would be more ideal for him not to see her hair, specifically if he's making the bracha, but there's always the Aruch HaShulchan to rely on altogether. But now, let's say, even not for bracha, she walks around, she washes the dishes with her hair uncovered. So that's Rav Moshe. The Maisa, that's not Mocha Mechusa. So as opposed to the approach that we have in general, Mishra Estara even wearing socks, because that's her minav. Or maybe the middle of the road approach, which is that whatever is normally an erva, she should leave uncovered. So that's Rav Moshe, Ser Bisha's erva. That's notwithstanding, mutter l'gamri for her husband, b'shas nidusa, because that's not something that she normally leaves uncovered in front of him. Zot Reb Willard, according to that Reb Moshe, you can take that Reb Moshe and run with it. You sowed how you sowed us, and this harchaka is, whatever is normally covered in front of him is usher, whatever is not normally covered in front of him is mutter, that's not mokum mechusa, this is not hilchus erva, this is hilchus nida, and it depends on what's considered normally covered in front of him. Mamela, if she normally walks around in a t-shirt, to the middle of her upper arm in front of him, mutter for her to wear that during nidus. And does that mean that's what she always wears? As soon as she comes home from work, she changes into a t-shirt. No, if that's part of her normal wardrobe in front of him, that's mutter. It stands to reason, although I never heard this from a Willard, if that's doctor pajamas that she wears when she's asleep, that's not a raya, because people often wear less to sleep than they wear. So that's not necessarily doctor to sleep, but what she would normally wear around the house, if it's part of her normal wardrobe, that is mutter. If she'd wear shorts normally, that is mutter. She would never be put dead wearing shorts outside. Irrelevant, because that's not considered mocha mechusa in front of her husband. So where do we draw the line? The line is drawn, Rabbi Wolf suggests, between body and extremities. Body itself, the trunk of the body, is objectively also that we can say is going to be based upon what's her minhag. But any extremities, arms and legs, whatever her minhag is normally, that is mutter. Depends on the situation. So it might say if she would wear a tank top. Let's say she wears a tank top as part of her normal walking around the house in general. That would not be mutter during nidus. Just tank tops going to expose, let's say, her neck. That's not going to be mutter. But anything which is going to be within the extremities, mutter gudamri, certainly hair, it's based on Rav Moshe's yisod with an extension. Tell you that first.
According to Rav Willard, what would be the din with a chasim?
So as I think Rabbi Tanuvader was asked this question once when she was doing Chazar Shiur, but that's the point Rabbi Willard, according to Rabbi Willard, is made. What happens? A girl used to be in the dorm, so she wouldn't walk around in shorts in the dorm. She feels inappropriate. That's not the way she was doing walking around. She used to be at home. She doesn't want to at home, meaning her parents and her brothers are around. She didn't walk around in shorts there. Now she gets married, so she wants to know what should she do. So she's allowed to then make her new wardrobe. Once it stands to reason, although this I never heard from Rabbi Willard, that the first time she's in Ida, she can't necessarily wear shorts, but she's allowed to be kaveya her wardrobe, and that's going to be considered mutter. So one might say that a kala for the first 2 weeks, since she should not wear shorts, this is a conjecture, because then there's no baseline. But once she develops a new baseline, even though it's not the same as the previous situation, that would be mutter udamri, although she herself is changing from what she would have done at home.
If you have shorts bisha erva, which is like the same terminology as other parts of the body are erva, why? What's the trunk? Where does the trunk definition come from?
I mean, so why would you say it's
where does that line come from?
Right, I do not recall any specific marmokum more than Shito Adas. I don't recall. It could be, I'm not remembering. It's a, Adam.
What are the gederas of a tank top? Like, for example, my wife tells me that tank top means anything without that the sleeve would stop over here, but I thought from previous understanding that it was a thinner, not like the so-called wife beater shirts that men in the South
right.
wear.
So it really depends. Meaning, if it's just you're right. It depends on if it's more like a basketball jersey, let's say. So that's still, but I think neckline that would be inappropriate, even though it would be okay for shoulders. But that should be a problem just as far as the neck. You have to see what the neck situation is. But if it's going to be more a thinner strap, then it would be an issue even for the shoulder itself.
What's in between a neck and a shoulder?
No, I'm just pointing out there's two.
But in general,
top,
we said that before.
Even two denim tank tops, so the one which is going to have a thinner strap should be an issue even shoulder, and even if there's a thicker strap, it might be an issue as far as neck. Anyway.
You said that according to Rav Willi, if you have a cutoff here.
Right, mutter, right.
So this is mutter. So what's between this part of the body and this part of the body?
No, that's extremities. Extremities are based upon whatever is normal. And
normal where?
For her and her husband. Extremities is all.
But she'll also wear a tank.
No, but that's very well. Those are the torso. It's part of the actual chunk of the body that can never be compromised.
But this is considered erva, just like this. Considered
that's what, that's my, that was my expression. Right? What the other is, I don't remember any specific marmokum about the fetal gods.
Shoulders counts the trunk or an extremity.
Sorry, shoulders. Right, beyond, no, shoulders. Yeah, shoulders is part of the trunk itself. But any arms or legs, Jeremy.
Sleeping, if what you normally wear to sleep might not count, but if she every night wears that to sleep.
Right, so if she walks around the house with it too. I think it's.
But if she wore the same thing every night to sleep, but she didn't walk around the house with it, then effectively she can't wear that to sleep either because he's going to see her.
Right,
sleep.
Exactly.
So.
Right, 100%.
It's normal
right.
only determined by walking around the house, not what she wears.
Right, although I never heard that from Ray Willard per se, but I think that's what he means. Is that we can call and ask him, although there's a new number for the summer. But. I think it's based upon the specific idea. Well, it's one of our normal wardrobes, not just going to sleep. But it's interesting to note we have the total range in terms of menhagim rooted in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, what they should apply to. It's well known that beds themselves can cause some sort of feeling of intimacy. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosotim, this is the Shulchan Aruch adding to the Shulchan Aruch. What the Nosu Telem add in the Thaz and Sifta and Vav, the Shaka and Sifta and Yud. We presume ideally it's better for both husband and wife not to sit or lie on each other's beds with a slight difference. For husbands to lie or sit on his wife's bed is as long as she's in the same ear. For a wife to sit or lie on her husband's bed is only befanuf. So it's similar halakha, but it's not exactly the same halakha. You'll see that's not something of the woman. Not everyone agrees to that idea exactly. Maybe the difference between sitting and lying. You'll look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosotei. I mean, that's the general approach, is that it's better all four. Sitting, sleeping, sitting, lying for both husband and wife, with the difference of husband but ear. And for the wife to do it only in
the fun. So the wife can sit on the husband's bed even fun. That's
we're trying to be machmir. The Taz does quote. The Bakhti would say that maybe, but we try to say, ideally, we'll sit and lie on for each of them to do, which would be better to avoid. Making beds. So Lamaisa, whose job is it to make the beds? Husband's job, of course. He should make the beds before he leaves every morning. Harada, of course. But Lamaisa, there's a discussion in the post, what does making beds mean? The Shulchan Aruch says she should not make the bed. What does making the bed mean? Latia mitzasos, Yud Aleph. Dafka priestess sedinim. It doesn't mean X, it means Y. It means only the Rechiba part. But unclear in the post, what does not X but Y mean? Does making the bed itself, putting on the new linens, that the Rechiba? Or no, making it look nice, the bedspread, the quilt, that's the Rechiba. Sorry?
What's called turning the sheets?
Right, so that's turning the sheets. Turn down the surface. Hotels do it. Right. So which is better? Which is worse? One of them is Derech Tarach, one of them is Derech Chiba. It's not clear in the later postum which is which. Is making the bed, the big schlep, having desk for Shabbos, let's make the beds, that's Derech Tarach. But to make the beds afterwards, to make it look nice, that's into Derech Chiba. Or no, making the bed, that's Derech Chiba. Just putting the stuff on afterwards, that's Derech Tarach. Unclear. So we try to be machmir for both. Ideally, one could make a case to say be machmir for none. We try to be machmir for both. both it's ideal not for her to do. It's only b'fanav. But if it's shor b'fanav, moter and shor b'fanav in the Beis Yosef from the Yerushalmim, even if he's looking down or his eyes are closed, that's mutter. As long as he doesn't see it, that's okay. And of course, ideally, who should make the beds? The husband should make the beds anyway, so there's nothing to talk about, of course.
No, she's still in it.
She's still in it. Because he's such a good husband. Right,
is there a problem with the husband making the bed in front of her?
Right, we don't find such a concern.
Areas we split between the husband
right.
and the
husband. Right. So that's an interesting idea. There's no secret that in terms of stimuli, men are more visual, women are more emotional. It's a basic psychological phenomenon. It's not something which is new to science, and it's also something which does not show any superiority or frivolity more of men or women, daitan kalos, or men are more specifically focused on intimacy, but the specific mechanisms in the brain for men in general are more visual, and women it's going to be more contextual. So often our chakras are focused more on the men in terms of visual situations because we're concerned about that, and for women more is the emotional situation. It's not that we have a predisposition to be more concerned for men than women, but it's often is we notice that difference that exists.
Shouldn't the hotel case still be a raya that the turning the sheets is the chiva part?
I know that's not the chiva, that's luxury, that's a tarach. I mean, now who does it? The Nebuchadnezzar pays someone to go around just to turn your sheets over, so you see, that's just
the
tarach.
Maybe for the staff it's a tarach, but I'm saying for you that's the chiva.
It's a chashiva, right? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
So she should not make any do any part of the making beds, but fun of.
He can make whatever he wants.
Right, whatever he wants.
So men are not pigs.
Right, so he's so, right, exactly. It's not. It's a difference in Matthias. It does not mean that one. It does not mean that, that there's. It's inappropriate an inappropriate so to mention, but there was once a public speaker, the yeshiva hired, that came years ago to teach Rabbanan. They're not around anymore, and they shared with future Rabbanim a survey, which is an important thing to keep in mind, although it's inappropriate and the survey is not true. They pointed out that anytime anyone is speaking, 1/3 of the audience is focused specifically on matters of intimacy. They said it a little bit more of a das phraseology, but the yisod they were making was that people should remember, even though you're speaking, everyone's not always focused on you. But it's important to you. So they didn't say specifically men, women in general. That's a matter that's on people's minds. We know hormones are a very important part of what makes people function. And halakha is specifically trying to focus that for both men and women. Although it's no secret that men could sometimes be more tense and use that specifically to focus, to help a stimulus, as well as the women that are, if they're focused on something else, sometimes that could make it not as easy for them to be more focused on more intimate matters. The Rama adds, very cryptic Ramas, if hey, Asur leishev el safsul aruch shemis nadedes. You can't sit on the same seesaw. Something which he can feel her movement or she can feel his movement is inappropriate also. Anything that moves, any type of summer swing, anything which is going to be moving together, they can feel each other's movement is Asur. Rowboat is Asur. Unless, says the Ramah, someone else is between them. If someone else's movement is felt also, that's mutter. That's okay.
Someone else's movement or someone
that's... No, someone else is there.
If
husband and wife go rowing with someone else, that's okay.
It doesn't have to be in between them, just be in movement, it's coming from somebody else.
Rama says, Yoshev Beinehim. So, sometimes it has to be enough that his movement can contribute to the seat.
Because I was wondering, for example, by my parents, so in the backyard they have one of those swinging chairs. Okay, so if the Rama is saying Beinehim, but the Bineim is a little kid who weighs 20 pounds.
That's Nesh Mutter, right. Bineim, Nesh
Mutter. But the fact is that when there's two big people and one small person in the middle, just based on science, you don't feel the weight.
Right, right. So that's a good point. Yeah, I think, how about the Losefala? Once the Ramah says that another person, that's really going to be okay. There's once a story, an alter mirror couple. A couple that a long time ago got married. They were telling me about now, two couples during Shavuot brachos, both got married around the same time. They both were in the rowboat in Central Park. They both went rowing at the same time. Two couples. Interesting to see how times change. Imagine Chasson Kala during Shavuot brachos when rowing with another Chasson Kala during Shavuot brachos. Both Altamir is there from European people. So I was wondering, what's the chat? Why would the husband want to go with his own wife and the other husband with his own wife? Why do they want to spend their time with other Chasson Kalas? Terrace is, that was only when they were matir, right? All four of them in the rowboat together. That was matir at the same time. I don't know if that was necessarily the chat. Amprasadvarim. Lamaisa. So this is a very big issue in general. This Rama has 2 points. Number one, things that move. Number two, going on pleasure walks and pleasure trips together, coming from the Shmuel Sedeshin. So Lamaisa, the first idea of things moving, it's not only seesaws or swings, but even on couch. If you sit on a couch, which is the same cushion, and she sits down and it makes it move, he sits down and makes it move, that's going to be a problem. Rabbi Willard thought it's pashut, that let's say you go to, if you sit down on two cushions in the same couch, often a couch is three cushions, a love seat is two cushions. So he sits down on one cushion, she sits down on another one, even though the cushions push themselves, that's already not a problem. That's not the same chetzer, that's two things, one pushing the other. That's going to be mutter. But if it's the same cushion, that's a problem. Lamaisa, Rav Moshe comes with a big kula here. Rav Moshe says, Murphy's Law. Husband and wife, let's say they're driving a Mini Cooper or a really, really small car, any compact car, and they take home another couple from a wedding. So husband and wife in the front, another husband and wife in the back. Husband and wife in the back are in the status of neither, but it's irrelevant to the husband and wife that are in front. And all of a sudden, as they're about to leave, one of the wife's friends say, can I please come also? So they're all going to be together, one happy family in that small car. What do you do? So there's two options. Now, the husband and wife know that she's in the status of nidus. So in theory, the best thing to do is to have the wife by one window, husband the other window, and the friend in between them. This way she's marked, correct? No, not so ideal. Right. Okay, not appropriate. So what's going to happen instead? You're going to have husband and wife, and then wife. So, Lamaisa, the Rav Moshe writes, in such a situation, even though they could all feel the car moving, and that's, Rav Moshe says that's not a concern. That's the car moving, that's not the seats. Even though it's a bench seat, Rav Moshe says that's not a concern. It's connected enough to the car, there's no problem. I worry about touching, so then they try to avoid touching as much as they can. It's ideal to have some sort of purse or something between them that they're both pushing against the purse, but not against each other, as much as they can. And as Rav Willard pointed out once, if they're both in the car, so when the car swerves, they should try to swerve away from each other rather than into each other as much as they can. That's Rav Moshe's big kula as far as the car. Car is not considered the same as a couch moving as far as moving.
The man in the front separate by gender.
It depends. Yeah, but as we'll talk about in a few minutes, the idea of embarrassment is important to make sure no one knows what's going on. That's true.
But it would be the same if there was just the two of them in the back.
Yes, that's I'm not bringing up that friend as a chumra. That's a
friend is for touching.
Friend is for touching.
Friend, right. The bench would be fine in Manashach.
Yes, the bench is fine in Manashach. The point is, even with the friend there and they're close to each other, they still don't consider that touching. The Pesushua quotes here the issue that Eliezer raised before, the issue of Kol B'Isha. Sif Yud in the Pesach Tshuva. Do we say Kol B'Isha Erva applies even for Nida? And it leaves it as a Tzarechiyun, Machlokas HaPoskim. So it depends then on the Shito Adas of the situation. If she's going to put on a performance for him, Kol Isha, then L'chor it's more to that to be Machlokas for Pesach Tshuva if one can, and not to have her sing. But what if, let's say, she's putting the kids to sleep or singing Zmiros, the famous Tshuva, Tzvidei Yesh, and others, if it's Shriya Kodesh, other things. So this is much better than case of Kol B'Isha Erva in general. Here it's a machlokas opposed to altogether. So even if you're not such a fan, in general you don't like the co-ed singing situation in your home or in a shul or something like that, here there's much more reason to make those. We're not so sure it's an Isser altogether. We can be most of the fact that it's going to be a situation where there's a lot of people singing together or Shiri Kodesh, or it's for some ulterior motive. Let's say she is doing some sort of job and it's menial labor, it's much easier for her to sing. So it's hard to be machmir on her against on a suffered in Pesach Tshuva, hard to be machmir on her singing if it's not done as a frivolous activity which is to help her work altogether. Even though one might be machmir and Kol B'Isha Erva there, but to say that one should be machmir here, it's a harder thing to do. That Rama, the same Rama in Sif Hey, talks about going on a trip. And it's unclear if you look back in the Rama, the Transdeshan, more contemporarily, the Aruch HaShulchan, discussed this idea of going on a trip per se. So Rav Willard pointed out, the Klal Gadol in this Rama is that the Pashtus, the idea of going on a trip, is more a din of, as we mentioned yesterday, Sif Aleph, than Sif Hey. What's considered Palos Rosh? They're going to go on a trip to Bear Mountain because they both need to exercise, or they want to spend time together in a non-frivolous way. That's mutter. If it's more of a havdu, just using it as a mushal, b'mchilas kvod shir hashirim, just as if it's more of like a shir hashirim going to the pardesim, the imagery that's illustrated in shir hashirim, which is more of a intimate situation, then it's important to be avoided. One has to use a shittal adas in each situation based upon itself, per se. Will points out the same thing as far as tennis is concerned. Is tennis a concern? He plays tennis if he plays tennis with his wife when she's an Ida, does he have to be concerned that she's an Ida? So is, and ping pong, is this such a concern that should exist? So it should make a difference why he's playing tennis. Why is the husband doing it? If it's done frivolousness, tam, it's fun to play, then it should fall into sif, hey, l'chora. If it's a situation where it's for exercise, then it should be mutter. There are those that play exercise, that play tennis for exercise, and whoever's going to make them run the most, that's what they want to do. So Will pointed out, if that's what the husband's intent is, then that should be mutter. You might say that's the other Rashi, the idea was Rika, because that's what we told yesterday. Okay, but tennis is best, because they're not playing catch, they're playing, I want to make sure the ball goes away from me. Okay, so it depends more on the Shikha Das as far as, is it frivolousness, or is it considered exercise? That's this Cloud Rodon Sif Hei. Although, the Mishmar Star quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, they want to try to avoid pleasure trips. That's as Arachata Yisera, that's not Ikudina. Ikudina, as like Rabbi Wood pointed out, depends on what the intent is. Is it more frivolous or just friendly?
In all seriousness, I'm not saying through as a joke. So in the case of tennis, so yeah, or ping pong, you want the person to miss the ball.
Oh, it's even better, right.
Which is good, but practically speaking, in between serves, you throw back the ball to the person serving.
Right, so it should bounce.
Is that really the problem? Or
right, so let's also look at the difference between maybe volleyball would be better than tennis. It always has to bounce. Tennis has to bounce. No, when you, right?
If yeah.
You serve it unbounced, then you have to always let it bounce one time.
Right.
That should be better. Ping pong is worse. Ping pong, you want it supposed to bounce on the serve, but then
it's always
also okay. So always has to bounce. So fine. So volleyball might be right. Volleyball. You're allowed to slam it. Okay, right. Let's say volleyball. Yesh lahad between volleyball and nukam luchara. No, nukam you have to catch it. Volleyball you have to volley it back. Yesh lahayin.
It's easy when you have to catch. The purpose is you're not throwing it to the person.
Right, right. You're throwing it, right. So then the gravity for it, the arc. Right.
So with the pleasure trip, so there's no specific place that we could always say is a problem. It just depends on how you act on the...
Right, it would depend, luchara, the same thing would apply. Let's say the couple wants to go on a trip to Venice. So they want to go to Venice. Depends why they don't go to Venice. If it's in order to be more of a romantic getaway, that would be ideal to avoid. If it's that they work so hard, they need 5 days of a break, which is most, unfortunately, 12 in America, so it's hard to say that's a tiyul b'ganos v'pardesim. That's never. They need to get away. And often they point out, the din in vacation is not where you're going, it's that you're not home. So then that should be mutter.
But common, like, so you plan the trip in a few months ahead and it ends up coming out.
Also,
So then you could just turn it into a...
At least for that time. Right, exactly. Right. It's based on the Shitra Das, 100%.
Are all these things, did he have it even? Or there, for instance, you show up at a hotel and you only have one bed. So is there any tzad to say that even though the chachila, you shouldn't be sleeping on the same bed, since there are chakras...
If you look back in the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, they talk about the idea of having something which is Masif Beinayim, but we are very strongly against that contemporary halacha, so as it's from the Shulchan Aruch already, so we would definitely avoid that. I think Rabbi Slavsky is fond of saying when he gives Shurim to Chassan, and maybe it's in his Sefer also, when there's only one bed, then if one of us has to sleep on the floor, it's always the husband who sleeps on the floor. Proud husbands are always the ones who are going to sleep on the floor. So, right, there's no way to be made on such a... Maybe they could creatively separate the box spring and the bed, but usually box springs are not so comfortable to sleep on. A din which is not so common nowadays, if you can't draw the bath for him. So nowadays people don't take baths that much. And it does not seem that there's a problem of being mose, litzot lomayim, to turn on the shower. Turn on the shower should be mutter l'chora, because that's the mayim that she turns on is going to be down the drain. Only water which is going to be prepared, such as a bath, that's usur. Or if the olden days, this is in Sifyut Beis, she's going to pour water into the swimming pool or the bath, which stays there. But the shower won't be made l'chora because that water is not there anymore. We quoted the idea of Hoshit, Davar Miyada Liyada, and we noted that was an idea Tosfos quotes from a psak from Rashi. The Beis Yosef quotes some of the Rashi's Talmid, the notice was that Hanhaga Rashi had himself. And we see from that a major paradigm for how a husband and wife should approach the time of her being Anida and embarrassment that can be ensuing from keeping her chuppah. So Rav Moshe, not quoting that raya, so Rav Moshe, what are you embarrassed about? I don't understand. Isn't part of a normal, healthy woman is that she becomes Anida every month? That's what it means. It means just like you breathe, you become Anida. What's the problem? That's Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe says, people notice. They shouldn't notice now. They know what happens in theory. It shouldn't happen now. So Rav Moshe, yeah. What are the days of the Mishnayos and the Gemara? Simon and Sifim we're not going to discuss as far as specific clothing, but there's an idea clear in the Gemara as far as wearing different clothing. She used to wear different clothing when she was in Eid. There's a motion that was necessary because a Zav, a Zava, a Balkari, anyone that was Tameh had to wear different clothing. If they wore the same clothing when they were Tameh and when they were Tahar, they'll make themselves Tameh by putting on the clothing again. It wasn't only for a symbol. It was that they had to make sure they didn't mix up Tameh and Tahar. Tumah and Tahara had to be kept carefully separate. And therefore, they made sure to have different clothing. So for Moshe, that was part of life. A guy says, people can know I'm a Balkari. That's part of the way life was. People knew who was Tameh, who was Tahar. So for Moshe, what are you so concerned about? No reason to be made on embarrassment in our chatos. That's part of maturity and part of life. On the other hand, and in fact, I'll just add to what Moshe is saying, not that Moshe needs me to add, there are some beautiful mitzvos that were built with tremendous levels of privacy that no one should ever notice. It's like the office of mental health professionals, psychologists. No one should ever see anyone else there. So you have three doors, one to come in, one to come out, one just for show, that if no one can ever see each other never see anyone else in an office of mental health professionals, shouldn't be chas v'shalom, the embarrassment. So I'm saying that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, although there's what to be said for that. Similarly in mitzvos, make sure that no one ever sees it. Only buzz in if one person's leaving, that no one else can see each other leaving and coming in. Lamaisa, that can sometimes engender within a person, although it's important to have privacy, it can also create within a person a certain feeling of, okay, I'm doing this mitzvah, you know, I'm a little bit Sherlock Holmes, make sure no one sees what's going on. Lamaisa, it's a beautiful mitzvah. So in that book, so a wife sees her friend in the mitzvah, they both know they at the same time they were told though. There are my quotes, the minhag is nadu anashim ahastir wealth v'yasam, that's within reason. It's because now it's only there for one reason, for husband and wife. There's a minhag is to be master well tefillah. And that's not absolutely necessary in terms of a mitzvah's construction. And I'm not trying to say it's not important to be sensitive to people's own feelings, but it's important to realize that overemphasis of privacy can sometimes cause people to feel embarrassed about the mitzvah, and chas v'shalom they should not ask as many shailos as possible, etc. There's a chassan that I taught approximately 2 years ago that called me recently, and he said he wants to know how to proceed. It's the first time he's asking a nida shaila, presenting a mara to a person, and he wants to know how to proceed. So he has asked shailos in the past, but that's a serious situation. What, he never had a mara before? L'chora, in such a situation, it's going to be more of an atil hachmir than atil hakel. Now, it could be that his wife was on birth control and became pregnant, and whatever, something happened that never happened, but it's normal fact of life, and it's important not to create this feeling of over-embarrassment, because then people feel embarrassed to ask shaylos and to do the halakha, to do the halakha's property. So I'm not trying to say the mitzvah is inappropriate, but it's important to realize that over-embarrassment sometimes can cause people to compromise chas v'shalom on halachos. And Rav Moshe's yisod, as far as my chas is concerned, Rav Moshe says, okay, big deal. Lamaisa, it's important to temper that with the fact that you can talk till you're blue in the face about how, come on, it's normal. Lamaisa, people get embarrassed, but anyone would want to say, you know, I'm an either now. No. Number one, just it's a private matter between the husband and wife. Number two, it's part of the body. So it's important to balance that. Rav Moshe is going to one extreme. What are you being embarrassed about? Be litzvish. Come on. Halacha. And the other approach is that it's normal to be embarrassed. So it's important to temper both of those together and to realize chacham in a barosho. In a situation where a person can, want to try to avoid creating a need to compromise the halachos altogether. If a husband and wife are standing next to each other and the person gives them the summon for Avdallah and they know that he can't pass it to her, they should make sure to be in a situation where they're not near each other for Avdallah, so he doesn't have to pass it there and look strange. That mistaif. In any situation, you can try to avoid it. Try to make the harkadros not have to have this tension between embarrassment and fact of life. Rav Moshe writes, otherwise you can't be metal because of embarrassment, but it's important to realize that's a very real fact. People do get embarrassed, people are shy, so it's important to try to preemptively arrange the situation that it's not so nodeya. What if it is? Okay, kalka, so what? Well, Maisa, you're right, it's a little bit embarrassing, but Rav Moshe says you can't be metal on harkadros because of that. Adam.
Just
tangentially, because I mentioned Bissamen. If, for example, the husband making Havdalah, wife holding the candle, is it mutter for him to let her smell the Bissamen while he's holding it?
So the Pista Chuba raises two issues as far as the candle, number one, reading by the light of the candle, and the Bissamen. Bissamen we talked about yesterday as far as perfume. So the pashtus, when it's Bissamen that she's holding with Tzorach Mitzvah, that should not be a concern. That should not be a concern altogether. That's not her Bissamen that she's holding. That's Tzorach Mitzvah. And light, because she talks about reading by using the light that he's holding. So we ended the discussion with Harkatos just to make a Pesach, although we're doing overtime, the issue that we'll talk about tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, in Siman Kuf Sadi Zayin, is an issue that women are not allowed to be tovelas ayom. Why? Well, Maisa, at the very beginning of our shiur, we discussed there's two different aspects of women's tumah nowadays, Nida and Zava. We're machmir for both. So a Nida needs to wait until Zainakim, and then she can be tovelas lelches. A Zava, we say, mitzvah hayom kukula. Not Nida, as I mentioned, but Zava. Zava is mitzvah kukula. That was my mistake in Rosh Bechina, and I thought Zava. Nida, it's only Zava. Lamaisa, it should come out that every woman nowadays, her Nida was over a while ago. She's all Zava's plus. Zava needs Zainakim, so she's definitely not Nida anymore. It's all for Zava. Zava mitzvah kukula. So as soon as the Yom Shvi comes in the morning, maybe, as the Ramban and others say, maybe even at night, but at least certainly in the morning, mitzvah kukula, she can be tovelas and go home. Zok the Gemara at the end of Nida, the etzem is mutter, of a Osir Lasus Kane. Really, achar maisa titzar. Really, after she's tovelas, she's Torah. Osir Lasus Kane. Because what happens if Nebuch, on day 7, she becomes a Nida, or she sees more dam? Well, maisa, it's still day 7. So, according to Chachamim, we passed in that even after she's tovel, she's materis to her husband, but let's say she goes on with, she's with her husband at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and 4 o'clock she sees dam. All those zaynatim were not naki, but she's now back to being a zava, and Nebuch, she's with her husband when she was a zava. Zok the Gemara also asks Cain, Shematel v'nei Safek, she might chas v'shem become a zava backwards, retroactively, and be with her husband retroactively, this. So that's reason number one, she can't be tovel b'yom shvi. Then, we have, as the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sif Gimel, there's an issue of Srach Bita, that her daughter might be going with her, because it was not so embarrassing for women to be tovel in those days, as Rav Moshe quotes the reality check. Well, Maisa is up to Rav Moshe, is up to Shulchan Aruch, that if she's going to be tovel, Yom Shmini, Yom Tshii, her daughter's going to think, oh, my mother is tovelus during the day, and the daughter will be tovelus during the Yom Shvi'i, and go back to the same problem of Kilkul with the Zava. So therefore, Yom Shvi'i, Shmini, Chi, Asi, Yom is always out for these two reasons. Shvi'i is going to be a problem, and Shmini is going to be usur just because of the Shrach Bita. So Vanaisa, those are taken very, very seriously. But there's a big difference. We see the Ikra problem is Yom Shvi'i. Yom Shmini is a bit of a Hosafa. So, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Dalid that we're more Meitel on the Srach Bita, let's say, being Tovel B'Yom Shmini or Yom Chi'i, than we're Meitel on Yom Shvi'i. Yom Shvi'i is the Ikra Dina, and any day afterwards is just there a Srach Bita. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalid, we're Meitel more on Yom later on than we are in Yom Shvi'i. But we're never Meitel on Yom Shvi'i. And this happens very, very, it's very common for such a thing to happen. Do we say that a woman can be tovel ever during the Yom Shmini? Let's say a woman comes and says, you know, I'm in a medical school, I have residency, and I'm on call every night at night. I can only go during the day. So can I go during the day Yom Shvi'i? So the standard answer would be like the Shulchan Aruch says, no, go Yom Shmini. Yom Shmini, not Yom Shvi'i. Because we're made no more if necessary. On the Srach Bita concern, in the Ikra Dina itself. Lamaisa, though, we know that sometimes Em Hotel has a kula. Shulchan Aruch says, Avol Shvi lo tifum b'od yom afet av dita onis. No matter what, never being tova b'yom Shvi. So here there's two issues the Poshim raise. Number one, what's Yom Shvi? You're in a time person. You're mapped 72 minutes after Shabbos, 90 minutes after Shabbos. Is that considered Yom Shmini? And anything else is Yom Shvi? So Rav points out, L'chor, in this din in Shulchan Aruch, even if you're usually in a time person, here we're made till 20 minutes, L'chor. The most made till tseis is enough. You don't need to go crazy on what Yom Shvi is. That's not always so common. In Breuer's, the minute is a woman can't be tovel till an hour after Shtia. Okay, so you have no way of being made till because they run the mitzvah. But in theory, let's say in Riverdale or a place where it's more free, one can be made till for 20 minutes in theory, half hour, let's say, because it's not Yom Shvi Mamish, it's more that there's no concern Shema Tzirev Etzistar. Once it's already enough that we can be makel on this idea of Yom Shvi, that's mutter. And number two, Pesach Shuvah in Sif Katan Yud Beis quotes Ayein Sif Yitaris Sif Katan Yudim Moshem Bach. Doesn't tell you what he says. What does he say? Ayein. Pesach Shuvah's pasuk is Ayein. You have to Ayein. What does he say? If you look in the Pesach Shuvah in the Sif Yitaris from the Bach, he says even those in onus were not makel. That means usually. But Lamaisa we're makel sometimes on Yom Shvi as well. Such as if there's a situation that she can't be doing it for a few days straight. If Yom Shmini and Yom Tshii will not work, then we cannot be, then we're going to be makel back to Yom Shvi. So if the day or two could be pushed off, that's okay. But if it's going to be for a few days, then we're going to go back to Yom Shvi Imamish. And that's a discussion that the Poskim have when we can apply such tools.
You won't let her be with her husband.
Right, absolutely not with her husband, and we'll make sure she's not with her husband. Maybe they shouldn't even see each other. But the tefillah itself, we made it on, so we'll discuss this Bezrashem tomorrow and go on to the next two Simanim, Kuf Sadi Ches and Kuf Sadi Ches, the next 2 days, Bezrashem. We're going to have a fantastic day. Have a welcome, bro.